Thank you, Jeff. Sorry about that. Doesn't matter if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, or you are here and know Jesus Christ. There is a time, you know, sometime in your life, like for me when I was about 26 years old, where you make that determination, that decision, I want clean hands, I want a pure heart, and you start on a spiritual journey. But you know, sometimes as Christians, sometimes we can get into that place where, you know, we might backslide a little bit. We need that forgiveness again. So that song is true for all of us here today. Would you bow your heads with me today? Father, as you give us your wisdom, your insight from the scriptures today, Lord, don't let us worry about anybody else here today other than ourselves. Holy Spirit, speak to us individually, speak to us personally about where we are with you today, Father. As we open up the scriptures, let your Holy Spirit take the scriptures, apply them to our hearts, and help us come to know what it is you want us to do individually. Pour out your spirit of salvation today, I pray, Father. And for a heart of repentance, for Christians, for non-Christians today. It's the greatest gift you've ever given us, the opportunity to repent. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't it? Today we're taking a look in the third week of a series on God Never Said That. We looked at, number one, God never said that the most important thing is that you're happy. That's one of the guys from the Seven Dwarfs. If you believe that, you're dopey. The second thing we looked at last week is God won't give you more than you can handle. And we looked at the passage of Scripture and looked at people in the Bible that had more than they could handle, for God to help us be dependent on Him and to experience Him. That passage of Scripture we used last week, out of context, we're going to use this week in a proper context. Hope that you follow along. Hey, pull out your smartphone. If you'd rather just do that, go to the Bible app. If you hit the Bible app right at the top left-hand corner, it opens up right at the top there. It talks about the live events. We're right on that. If not, grab onto your sermon notes. What color are they? I don't even know. Pink. And Nancy's in pink, too. Just a tad less volume for me. I got a big voice today. A big voice from a little guy. Sorry about that. See, people tend to forget that ultimately it's God who we sin against. God is it who are the one that we sin against. And lots of times people are like, well, here it is. I've done all that. It really doesn't hurt anybody because nobody else knows about it. And the truth of the matter is, sin more than anything hurts us. More than anything, it isn't really hurting Jesus, except on the cross. It ain't hurting him no more, and you think who it is it's you and me. I'm always inevitably around somebody. I was this past week, and an old, tough old buzzard, and somebody wanted me to share the gospel with him, which I was glad to do, but it's an interesting when they get to that place, and they start cussing or swearing, and then they apologize to me. Like they hurt me or offended me. And I said, just so you know, Jesus is here even when I'm not. Just a planting a little seed. It's like, I swore for 26 years. Well, probably wasn't. When I was two or three, I might not have swore. I don't know, 1 year old. But God heard it, put up with it, and saved me. You know, sometimes we go about all the wrong things. But if you're a Christian and you're swearing, you got an issue. Deal with your mouth. Because the scripture talks to us about what comes out of our mouth. It should be clean, it should be pure, like the song you sang. So I have in your notes here, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever called somebody a sinner? Have you ever don't look to your right and say, hey, you sinner, don't do that. You know, I don't know why I'm looking at you, because, you know, whatever. You're supposed to look at people when I talk. Have you ever, it's interesting, you could call somebody a jerk and they'll forgive you. You can call somebody lazy and they'll forgive you. You can call them all kinds of different things. You can even say the three-letter word for donkey. She got it. And they'll forgive you because people have been called that, but say, you know, you're a sinner. And see how long they take to forgive you of something like that. I mean, people will forgive you for all kinds of things, but when is the last time you ever said, you know, that's sin, and you are a sinner? I mean, we're not allowed to say that, right? You know, my wife says she watches the TV a lot, and she says, that's wrong. We were watching something the other day, she's like, that's wrong. Have you seen that commercial where the dad goes up and dresses like a fairy princess and comes down with her daughter? She's like, that's wrong. You know what they're trying to do there. And so really what we need is tolerance. That would help everything. Tolerance. Oh, tolerance originally, it was a pretty decent, pretty good thing, just trying to make sure everybody was treated fair and equal and that type of thing. But tolerance today means don't judge me. Don't judge me, because if I say you're a sinner, then who do you think you are to, who do you think you are to judge me? And the truth of the matter is if you can never tell somebody, if somebody never told me I was a sinner, how would I ever know I needed a Savior? How? How in the world? So when somebody says, don't judge me, it's like, you know, that's wrong, that's sinful, but we can't judge their behavior. So really, nobody's wrong in tolerance. And everybody should be tolerant. Matter of fact, I stopped looking at you. Will you please start being tolerant of me calling you a sinner? That makes sense. Look at in your scripture, 2 Timothy. I had this actually in your notes. You're going to need your Bible, but I wanted you to have this. Folks, I want the people of Lifehouse Church, I want the people of Lifeline Church to understand we believe in doctrine. Doctrine's important to us because doctrine tells me what I believe about the Bible. Doctrine's important. On the back of your notes, I got Tozer all this month. You want to see Tozer because Tozer's saying what I believe about God, and if it's wrong, makes what I believe about myself wrong, and what I believe about sin wrong. You got to start with good doctrine. Here's 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Sound doctrine, biblical doctrine. Do you think that time's come? Interesting how people open the Bible and find justification for everything. Oh no, the Bible doesn't say this, that, the other. Okay, whatever. You know, sound doctrine. People want to hear, they don't want to hear teachings about sin. They don't want to hear teachings about suffering. I love this song. What was the first song we sang? In Him We Trust or something? I Will Trust in You. It's good. Say, when you don't answer my prayers, when you don't remove the mountains, when you don't do what you, I will still trust in you. But there's another gospel out there. There's another gospel out there saying, hey, when it's good for me or convenient for me, you know, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody, what difference does it make to God? Read on with me. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. You see what this is? This is Christians. He doesn't call them Christians. He calls them people, and they gather these teachers around them. They have teachers on TV, in the pulpits. They got books, they got DVDs, videos, because they follow this one type of teaching, whatever, and they like what it is. It itches their ears. If you're not somewhere once in a while, and somebody doesn't poke you in your ear and make it bleed, you're in the wrong place. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Now, to me, this says somebody that was walking with Christ turns away. They turn away from Christ. People are gathering around them teachers who please their selfish desires. So when I say and I look at this today, I can do whatever I want as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. God never said that. Can we take a look at three different ideas that are wrong ideas about sin? So if we get the wrong idea, then we can get the right idea. Number one, I'm not a bad person. You know the most dangerous thing about that is that went right over some of your heads. Because you don't think you're that bad of a person. I'm not a bad person. Folks, I am much better than Hitler. I mean, it all depends on who you compare yourself to. You're comparing yourself to somebody else. You're not that bad. Maybe it wasn't your parents. Maybe it was the guy across the street. Maybe it was the first husband, the first wife, whatever it is. You're not that bad a person. And of course, you open up the scriptures and says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us. If we claim to be without sin. If we claim to be without that sinful nature, that word there is the sinful nature. Sins, plural, are individual sins. And so, if I say I'm not a bad person, I really love, we showed some stuff from Ray Comfort. I love the way Ray Comfort, evangelist, go to YouTube and click on and find some stuff that Ray Comfort does. Man, he is as bold as a lion out on the street, man. And here's one of the things he'll do. He'll ask the question. He'll say to somebody, you think you're a good person? They say, yeah. And he'll talk to them. He'll say, well, have you ever told a lie? And they'll say, yeah. He said, well, how many have you told? Probably a pretty lot of them. Okay, you've told a lie. Well, how about stealing something? Have you ever stolen something? You know, something big, something small, cheated on your taxes, whatever it is. And it's like, yeah, I guess I have stole too. And he said, what about lusting? Have you ever lusted after another woman or another man, whatever it is? And of course, that's a wonderful question. Nobody wants to answer that. And then, you know, there's other people, when you ask them, they're proud of it. Oh yeah, man, I've lusted after a lot of women. See, that's why I wanted you to turn this down. I didn't want that to be too loud. Because it just said, Pastor Evan said he lusted after a bunch of, you know? And then some people proud of it. And so he basically says, and he says, I only dealt with three sins, and I give him all credit for this. He says, that just makes you a liar, a thief, and an adulterer. Now are you a good person? And we didn't mess with a bunch of other stuff. Which only goes to prove what the scripture says, 3:10. In context, before anybody is in Christ, Romans 3:10 says there was no one righteous, not even one. That is not after you're a Christian, that is before you're a Christian, or if you think you're a Christian. You can't fool Jesus. See, no one born leads a good life compared to Jesus. So if you say you're not a bad person, how did you do on those three? And how did you do compared to Jesus? Because he lived without sin. He was tempted, and he was without sin. This week, I want you to go to Jeff Joggins' hardware store. Joggins' hardware store in Painesville. I want you to go there if you need dental work. If you need a tooth pulled, I want you to go to Joggins' hardware. If you need a crown, I want you to go to Joggins' hardware. Because Joggins' hardware store does all kinds of stuff. I mean, they sell coats and, you know, jackets that are, what brand of jackets are those? Carhartts and shoes and they got tools and they got wrenches and they got plumbing and electrical supplies. They got all kinds of stuff there. But if you need dental work, I'm sure they'll fit you in. Because they do have pliers. Now, that's kind of silly, and we laugh about it, and you guys will all show up at Jeff's this week and say, Pastor Evan told me to come in for dental work, but he'll ask for a copay, so watch out. And the silliness of that is oftentimes people come to Jesus for all the wrong reasons. About as silly as going to Joggins Hardware Store for dental work. I will inevitably have a couple sometimes, and the guy, normally it's the guy, he loves the girl, he wants the girl, he's not a Christian, she is, and he will often say to me, I want to give my life to Jesus. You know the biggest danger there is well, you know what he wants? Well, not that. You know what he wants? He wants to get married. And it can be him and it can be her. I've had it on both sides. And the biggest problem is you can't come to Jesus so you can get married to a nice girl or guy. You got to come to Jesus because you're a sinner. And that may not be real easy to accept, but man, it is an awesome thing to have the gift of repentance. People come to Jesus because they say, you know, I want a healing for somebody in my family. So they come to Jesus for that. He may or may not give that to you. But I know this every time. For those who will repent and turn from their sins and confess Him as Lord and Savior, every time your sins will be forgiven. That's what you need. So come to Jesus for the right thing and go to Joggins Hardware for the right thing, everybody. Until we can see ourselves as sinners, we will never see our need of a Savior. So, God never said our actions, our sins are fine as long as it doesn't hurt anyone. He never said that. Number two, sin is sin, a lot of people say, or maybe you say it this way, all sin is the same. Now, let me talk to you about sin from two perspectives. Number one, sin sends you to hell. Sin separates me from God. And in one sense, doesn't matter if it's a white lie or murder, both of those, just the lifestyle of sin, the sinful nature sends us to hell. But there's another aspect to sin that you need to know that the scripture teaches. You know, all unforgiven sin leads to eternal death. So let me show you the difference of what I'm saying. When somebody gets mad, they lose their temper. They get enraged with anger and they're in sin state. They may yell at their husband. They may yell at their kid. They may, whatever it is. And that's a sin. But somebody else may get mad, get enraged at their husband or wife or somebody else, pull out a gun and shoot them and murder them and kill them, and that is also a sin. Now look at three verses with me, and you'll see that the Bible tells us all sin is not the same, because some sin gets punished worse than others. Here's Luke 20, verse 46 through 47. Beware of the teachers of the law. Now, if you're a Christian, you read the Bible, every time you see that, or a Pharisee, you want to go light bulb. You want to say, watch out for religious people. Watch out for religious leaders. Watch out for people who do what I do. You have your Bible. Open it and read it. You're not going to be able to say, Evan told me the wrong thing. You're not going to be able to watch TV and see somebody else. Religious people, most of them will not make it into heaven. The leaders are leading people wrong. Jesus said, narrow is the way, and very few find it. But wide and broad is the road that leads to hell, destruction, and many go that way. Read the words of Jesus. But all throughout the scriptures, all throughout time, there have been religious people who have led people astray. Here's these teachers of the law that like to walk around in flowing robes. Well, you can nix that one off of me. And love to be greeted with respect in the marketplace and have the most important seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. And look at verse 47. They devour widows' houses. The very ones they were supposed to be taking care of, they could have cared less if they lost their house as long as they paid their temple tax. The very ones. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished. Say it with me. Most severely. Punished more so. John, the 19th chapter, verse 11. We looked at this a couple weeks ago because on Wednesday nights we're studying the Gospel of John. Jesus is talking to Pilate. He said, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. Now here's one that you need and I need to be very, very careful of. 1 Corinthians 6:18 talks about sexual sin. Flee from sexual immorality. That means get on your running shoes and get away from it. Sometimes the strongest people know the things to run from first. You look like a coward, you are a smart, smart person. Know what to get away from. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. See how we live? Surely does affect other people. Let me give you three things that are in your notes there. How we live determine consequences on earth. Do you know that? Do you know that I talked to a guy, he was a manager of a business on the west side, east side, and he said every year they have to work into their budget $4 million of shoplifting and theft. What people do affects other people. If that was the case, if that was done away with, people would stop stealing, then they wouldn't have to raise the prices on you and me. They have to have security. Think about it all the way through. If I drink and drive, it is going to affect. It's going to have consequences on earth. If I am a lazy worker or a hard worker, it's going to have consequences on earth. Hard worker, I get a job, I keep a job, maybe grow up, I ascend in the job situation. Lazy, maybe I lose the job, my whole family suffers because I'm lazy. How we live determines consequences on earth. The second thing is it determines rewards in heaven. The scripture clearly says that there are crowns for us when we have lived what we've done, when our deeds and our actions are done in faith in Jesus Christ. I could preach this sermon without the Holy Spirit. I could preach this sermon without God. I've done it long enough. That's my... You know, when we talked about when we are weak, then we're strong. I got to make sure I'm weak and I'm trusting in the Lord. There are things in life that determine consequences on earth and rewards in heaven and punishment in hell. And here's the thing. Do you really want to test this one? We've just learned three passages of Scripture to talk about different aspects of different punishments in hell. Do you really want to test this truth? Do you want to forever close your eyes on this life, end up in eternity, and live forever and forever and forever with, oh, maybe your punishment wasn't that bad, or maybe it is really bad. You want to test this? Sometimes we just don't even think eternity. But for those who really, who say it doesn't matter what I do, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody, yes, it does. Sin has consequences. A story I read about a terrible accident, a railroad crossing, a train smashed into a car and pushed it like 400 yards up the down the track. And though no one was killed, the driver sued the train company. And at the trial, this was one of those crossings that didn't have the cross arms and the lights. It was one where they had a crossing guard, with a light, signaling people down. It's probably out in the boonies. So, but the crossing guard insisted that he had given ample warning by waving his lantern back and forth for nearly a minute. Matter of fact, he got up in court, he displayed what he did, and everybody was convinced, so they dismissed the case. The lawyer comes and said, "Man, you did great during cross-examination." And the guy said, "Thanks, but they surely got me worried there." He's like, "Well, how's that?" He said, "I was afraid if they were going to ask me if the lantern was lit." Now, isn't it interesting how consequences of knowing the truth and not saying the truth because you weren't asked, like, "Whew, that's off of me." Oh, no, it's not. See, we can sin by saying something or doing something, and we can sin by not saying something and not doing something. It's not just what I do, it's what I don't do. We stand in the way of justice. Evil lies there because I don't say and speak up. So God never said all sin is the same, and God never said you're not a bad person. Both of those are not true. Here's the third one. We're going to talk to Christians now. We're going to talk to Christians now because often we say, you know, I've already sinned and I may as well just keep doing it. I did it once and I just might as well just keep on doing it. You know, maybe somebody says, you know, I hear people talk about this on the radio. You know, well, I was sexually pure, but now I'm not a virgin anymore, or a guy or a girl or whatever, and they say, you know, well, you know, it is what it is. I can't go back now. Somebody else will say, you know, well, I cheated at work, and it actually got me ahead, and now I'm kind of in a bind where I got to keep cheating to help me keep getting ahead. Or somebody will say, you know, well, you know, I'm stealing music off of the internet. Everybody does it. I'm pirating movies. Everybody does it. Most people make a lot of money anyway. I might as well just keep doing it. I did it once. Some of you didn't know that was a sin, did you, to steal? No, you knew it. Somehow or another, we can push it out of our minds. In Romans 6, 1 and 2. Comes along and says, "What shall we say then?" In your notes, what shall we say? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? That's no way to show Jesus we love him. By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? See, this passage says, you are born of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit gave you power to crucify the sinful nature. But what they were dealing with was something that dealt with Gnosticism, which would say, when I got saved, my spirit was cleaned. And that's always remains clean, because the Holy Spirit, but my outward flesh continues to sin. And they gave themselves an excuse to sin after they came to Christ. That's not what we believe, that's not what we teach, and not what the Scripture teaches. All throughout the Scriptures, God says, to those who overcome. It's not to those who start nice. It's to those who finish well. All seven of the churches, do I have it right in Revelation? To those who overcome. I got to overcome. You got to overcome. We can overcome. That's the thing, because spiritual maturity isn't measured by how much I know, but it's by how much I obey. Whenever we do Bible study here, I always say, Lord, I know we're going to get more information. That's wonderful. But change us. Just one thing at Bible study. We don't need more knowledge. We need change. Because here we teach five things, and I know there's probably a few more things. Because people come up and say, you know, we want to go deeper. We really like to go deeper. And I would remind you or anybody of the five things that we challenge you. You want to go deeper? You know, number one, the Bible. The Bible is what, it's our faith and practice. The Bible, are you reading it? Are you in a Bible study? Are you doing a devotional with it? You got the internet, you can study it. You can study it as well as I can study it anymore. Number two, praying. Are you praying? Are you spending any time in prayer? Are you just always frustrated because there's no power in my life? Or, you know, because, you know, I don't pray very much. You know, when we have a time of prayer, a four-hour time of prayer, we're lucky if we get 20 people that'll show up for prayer. Third thing we talk about growing deeper in is serving. You got to serve. When you come to Jesus, if you're not a Christian, no problem. When you come to Jesus Christ, if you're not serving, you just come to just take, 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 you are nothing like Jesus, because he said, I came to serve and not be served. Fourth thing we always talk about is giving. Oh, where your heart is, that's where our treasure is. It's truth. And the Bible starts with tithing and goes from there. That's what it starts with. Everything else is offerings and giving above that, but the place to start is in tithing. And the last thing we talk about is fellowship. We're going to have a couple people baptized, a husband and a wife. That's awesome. You know, and it's so easy to say, the weather's nice, I want to scoot out of here. But fellowship is one of the areas where we actually are there for somebody else. I may need something, or you may need have something. And fellowship is the time, I can't tell you the number of times people say, I was here, and they were just at fellowship or whatever, and it's like, they made a connection that they didn't have before. Not fellowshipping, not planning to stick around. Maybe you have a good excuse today, I'm not trying to ram, but it is the epitome of selfishness. Fellowship, being there to congratulate those, and because there'll be no donuts and coffee till after the baptisms. We got you. I've already sinned. I might as well just keep doing it. You know sin is progressive, don't you? Just like anything else, sin is progressive. You take a snowball and you start rolling down a hill or across the yard, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Sin is progressive. When you talk about lying, you talk about lying when you're a little kid, and then you get away in middle school, and you keep, before you know it, you can't even tell the truth. You know, my wife, she gets people that come in, and she's a nurse, and she talks to people, and she asks them all these questions, and she says, liar. She's just good at it. She's been doing it a long time. That's why I don't lie to her. She catches me every time. Every time. Sin is progressive. I mean, if you're stealing, and you're just, you know, robbing a little bit, and you're just, you know, young. I can remember a lot of us young kids, we shoplift and stuff, where you know what? Some of us get caught and we stop doing it, or we keep going, going, for you know what? They're stealing cars and they're in prison. Pornography is progressive. Remember Playboy in the 60s or whatever it was? Oh, it's just this soft core, this, that, whatever, you know, and it just got worse and worse and worse. Just open the door. And there's despicable stuff on there. You start with pornography, man, it will go deeper and deeper and deeper. Well, of course, now it's adult entertainment now. You know, you saw the guys in the video. I was just looking at it on my wife. She hasn't been very frisky lately. And we think that's an excuse to sin. You know what women tell me? Evan, when you talk about pornography, don't just get the men. Women have an issue with it too. Sin is progressive. Flirting is progressive. I've worked with couples where one said, I'm just talking to the other person, this, that, the other. The person, the husband or wife or whatever, didn't understand. You know, that it's like, you know, this hurts. I don't like them seeing it. And they start to flirt. You know, you just test it. You just test it. You throw it out there and test it with somebody at work or this, wherever you're at. And you just test it a little bit. And if you get a positive response, then you go a little more progressive. And you get a bit positive response, you go a little more progressive with it. And before you know it, it ends in a divorce, a broken relationship, and adultery. Sin is progressive, everybody. I know it. I personally know it, experienced it, and I know you know and experienced it. Truth of the matter is, in all that, when I say to myself, yeah, I've already sinned, I might as well, we're only lying to ourselves. We're only lying to ourselves. The most miserable people on earth, sometimes I hear pious Christians say, oh, sinners are the most miserable people. Are you kidding me? They're having a ball. They have no conviction. They don't have the Spirit of God convicting them. They're not making them feel guilty, you know. The sinners are some of the most... Sin is fun, everybody. Come on. The most miserable people that I know are Christians that have sinned, and they know they sin, and they've hurt the Lord. I've been there. You've probably been there, too. They're miserable because the Holy Spirit is convicting them. Why did you do that? What are you doing? Should have kept your mouth shut. You knew better. The Holy Spirit convicted you. My mouth, He is always working on my mouth. God never said, hey, you might as well just keep on sinning because it can't get any worse than this. He never said that. So in your notes, I have the phrase, it may sound like there's no hope. It may sound like there's no hope. And maybe you just took a deep breath and say, oh, wow, I'm going to hear some good news. Well, you're not going to hear it from me just yet. Because the truth of the matter is you're expecting me to say there's hope, but there's no hope for you. There's no hope for you if you're thinking, I'm not a bad person. And there's no hope for you if you're saying, well, all sin's the same. There's no hope for you if you say, well, I've already sinned, I might as well keep doing it. There's no hope for you. But the asterisk in your notes is the truth from Scripture that says Jesus is a friend of sinners, which meant he would get up close and personal with them so he could share Jesus with them, himself, so he could share with them the truth, so that he could share with them that you can be saved and you can be forgiven of your sins. He did it all the time. It may sound like there's no hope, but I want you to know Jesus is a friend of sinners. And if you take advantage of that, the fact that, oh, Jesus is a friend of sinners, you will die in your sins. You will be lost for eternity. But don't mistake this as Jesus will ignore your sin because Jesus is a friend of sinners. He's a friend because he gave his life for you. He made a sacrifice for you so that you could be called his friend. So let me give you two passages of Scripture because I'm going to ask you today. Do you want to recommit your life to Christ? Or do you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, wholly and fully, have your sins forgiven, and follow Him? 1 Corinthians 10:13, the one we used last week, out of context, says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. Folks, you can't say, well, I'm being tempted here, and you know nobody else is going, knows what I'm going through. That's not true. It's not true biblically. It's not true in life. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. When you say, you know, I just can't help it, I just can't stop this, that's not true either. Unlove yourself, maybe you can't. But Jesus, Him and His help, and the help and the power of His Spirit can. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. And here's what you need to know from this passage. When you get to the place, if you want a way out, if you don't want to, if you want a way out, begin to look for God's way out. There's always a way if you'll look and observe. It's in the spiritual realm. It'll be in your heart, in your mind, a means of an interruption or something. Whatever it might be, begin to look for it. Because God knows you. He knows your temptation limit. And you can resist and overcome. It doesn't that He doesn't call us to something we're not capable of doing with Him. The second passage of Scripture is John. 1 John 1, 8 and 9, underline this word, if we claim. Would you underline the word claim? If we claim to be without sin, right? This is somebody who claims that they've never sinned. And somebody claims, I'm not a sinner. Somebody who, like a Gnostic would say, I may sin on the outside, but on the inside I'm not. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth isn't in us. I would think all the people that we talked about these three situations, they just deceive themselves. People don't put up a sound doctrine. I'm giving you sound doctrine about the concept of sin and how it can be forgiven. Verse 9, if we, underline this second word, confess our sins. Look at it's plural. Individual sins. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. See, here is a promise to people who will claim that they are a sinner, who will confess their sins, but there's no promise to anybody who will not claim it and confess it. You know, they say certain things, not many things, I guess, grow really good in the dark. One of the things that grows really good in the dark is mushrooms. I mean, I love mushrooms. My wife hates mushrooms. One of the very first times we were out on a date, we were at a pizza, and I wanted to get mushrooms, and she's like, oh, that squirmy fungi stuff that grows between your toes? Some things you never forget, no matter how old you are. You know what else grows good in the dark? Sin. If I hide it, it just continues to grow. If I just keep it in the dark, fine. But if you expose it, if today you would claim that you're a sinner and confess it, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all unrighteousness, purify you. So two things. Will you claim and confess? Will you claim your sin? Will you be responsible of it? Then Jesus will forgive you and He will become your friend. Will you confess your sin to the only one that can do anything about it, to the only one that you've sinned against? There's no promise for anybody who will not confess to the Lord Jesus Christ, but to those who will, Jesus will not become just your friend. He'll become your Savior. And He will grant you His Holy Spirit. Candy's going to come. She's going to play for us. We're going to have a time when we'll all bow our heads. We'll give you a chance to let you respond to what the Lord has said to you today. Or not respond, which is fine. I was reading a story about a Christian farmer who kind of went to the city and spent the day in the city. And he was in a restaurant for his meal, and he sat down to a group of young guys. Go ahead, Candy. And he bowed his head to give thanks. And when he bowed his head to give thanks for his food, one of the young men thought that he would embarrass the old gentleman. He said, "Hey, farmer, does everyone out there in their fields, do they do that where you live?" The old man calmly replied, "No, son. The pigs don't. Those that don't have a brain, those that don't know where life comes from, those that don't know where their food comes from, they don't. I don't know about you, but I certainly can remember making fun of Christians before I was a Christian. Silly Christians. Those whacked out born again ones. Woo, Lord have mercy. Keep them away from me. Mock them when they're there. Walk up to you in high school. I know kids in high school that were Christians. I know now at that time. We laughed at them when they walked away. I don't know how much sense you have. You have more than a pig? I don't know if you're grateful for the Lord Jesus Christ for what He did. Or it's just like, I'm just going to continue to live my life the way it is. And that's, I can't do nothing about that. Would you bow your heads with me? Today, are you going to mock God? Walk away from God? Or are you going to join the family of Christians? We're not perfect. We're not judging you. We're just sharing with you what we knew. With every head bowed, for those of you here today, maybe you want to rededicate your life to Christ. Or maybe for the very first time, give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you just raise your hand so I can make a promise to you? Make a promise to you today. Anybody here today? Anybody else? Thank you. Lord, for those young and old today, male and female, I don't know if they're rededicating, or I don't know if they're saying for the very first time, I know I'm a sinner. And no, you died on the cross for me. Today I am claiming the fact that you died for me. I'm claiming the fact that I'm a sinner, and I'm confessing that I'm a sinner. And Lord, if they are doing that with all their hearts, then you are sealing them with your Spirit, giving them your Holy Spirit as a mark on them. Father, I know very, very shortly, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, they'll wake up and say, "Man, what did I do? That was silly. That's just some emotional thing." Will you help them as they open up the Scriptures? Let the Scriptures become alive to them. I ask that maybe they begin in the Gospels and read in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, or Luke, and I pray that they will find a Christian friend, and then as they get down to pray, that they will have a connection with you like they never had before. Make it real to them by your Spirit, I pray. Father God, may all of us today take the responsibility we have to become their friends and to help them not judge them, but to come alongside of them and grow together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In just a minute, I'm going to ask Roger to come do announcements. Come on, Roger. I am going to make you a promise.